This morning we talk about living hope and real hope in Christ. And this evening we consider and we think of one of the means God gives to us, God gives to those who holds that living hope in this world. That is prayer. So we focus on verse 6 and 7 of chapter 4 to understand the flow of this context. I will read from verse 4 through verse 9. Here is God's holy word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. According to Christian Today, Isaiah 41:10, starting with do not fear, was the most searched, read, and bookmarked verse of 2020. It was the year the coronavirus hit us. Similarly, today's passage from Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, was another popular verse in their report. While many people can recite these verses easily, they can often misapply them as magic words or self-encouragement. To understand this portion of God's word properly, we will take a closer look at verse 6 and 7, which talk about prayer. The prayer which John Calvin refers to as the chief exercise of faith. First of all, as we consider this chief exercise of faith, I urge you to remember God in your life, even in times of difficulty, times of anxiety, and times of agony. In verse 6, Paul says, let your requests be known to God. You and I have a place to go. We will consider this very truth under our first heading. This evening, we will have three P's. So first P is place. Place to put your request. As a father of four, I'm always terrified whenever one of my kids wake up in the middle of the night. Either he or she has a bad dream, or he or she is feeling sick in the worst scenario. If I see my child sweating buckets with a high fever and Tylenol or ibuprofen doesn't manage the fever, I will take him to the emergency room which is open 24/7. When I grew up, however, my parents didn't have a car, and there was no public transportation after 10 p.m. No emergency room within a walkable distance. If my parents faced the same situation I do, I cannot imagine how they would feel and react. The fact that there is no hospital to bring our sick child, or the fact that there is no place to go to fix the problem, makes us scared. Think about circumstances that cause you to become anxious. Paul, in today's text, says that do not be anxious about anything. We can understand that we are surrounded by many factors which can make us anxious. And this verse, verse 6, especially points out that anything means literally anything. It can be a small thing or it can be a big thing. Job in the Old Testament describes our life that man is few of days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Life is not easy from the moment we are born until we die. You are probably familiar with many psalms where psalmists agonized over their troubles while singing and reading these psalms. We can identify similar situations we face. However, the remarkable thing is that the psalmists always find the right place to go and to put their requests. Listen, Psalm 55, give ear to my prayer, O God. Psalm 57, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God. 63, O God, you are my God. 64, hear my voice, O God. These are just a few examples. You will find many more psalms beginning with cries, but realize the Lord our God and calling upon Him. Psalmists never called different names or went to the wrong places. They did not avoid or detour from where they were supposed to go. It makes a huge difference in your life when you realize you have a place to go in times of trouble. When was the last time you felt worried and overwhelmed? How intense was it? Whether it is related to your work, family, medical issues, or financial issues, what was your first response to your anxiety? I'm anxious because of this, because of that. Then where do you go? Even we Christians too often treat coming to God in and through prayer as a last resort. However, God should be our first resort. He is your first resort. You have a place to go. That place is the most secure place, the safest place, the place where it is open 24/7. You can go anytime from anywhere. Our God is welcoming of all those who trust in Him. Friends, remember. Remember, He is your hiding place. He is your refuge. And He is your first resort, but not your last. Think of it this way. The city of Philippi was one of the richest and most powerful cities in the Roman Empire. So the people of Philippi might have had many other options. They could choose something else rather than prayer. But Apostle Paul strongly exhorted them, "Do not be anxious, but pray, and let your request be made known to God." Taking Paul's exhortation, you realize there is an unshakable place. You reach that place with your abundance. You request for God's intervention in your life. And you repeat your request to God again and again in your troubling times. But we come to God in prayer not to inform Him about our requests, not because He does not know what we are going through and what we need. We know that, and we believe that God knows everything. We pray because we submit ourselves to the Creator of all things. We pray because we realize God's sovereignty, His almighty power, and His perfect knowledge. We pray because we obey the commandments God gives to us. We pray because of our faith and obedience, relying on our Lord. This is the chief exercise of our faith. And this is the way of our living as a believer who holds the living hope. Again, you are not astray in this world without a place to go, without place to hide, and without place to take refuge. But you have a place to go. And there, put your request before your God. When you pray and make your request known to God, then what happens? You put your request in, and God put His peace in you. This brings us to our second heading. Peace given to your heart and mind. Let me reread verse 7. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Of course, God can do anything. He can change the circumstances in which we are struggling. He can save, He can heal, He can give, He can restore, and He can do whatever He wants. But He does so according to His will, not our own. The context of today's text is not like the one in Matthew's gospel. "Ask and it will be given to you." Our text this evening is more related to our innermost parts and our thoughts. Because we can't comprehend God's will and His plan. There are so many things we cannot understand in our life. Although we pray and pray, some things never change. Although we cry out before God, things we did not desire still happen. From our limited and finite understanding, we might think what happened should not happen. However, when Paul commands you to let your request be made known to God, he promises that there will be the peace of God which transcends your understanding. When you come before God in prayer and supplication, you will find the peace of God surpassing all your understanding. That peace will guard your hearts and minds in your troubling times. Recall the Westminster Large Catechism on prayer. The first part of answer to the question, are we to pray unto God only, is this: God only being able to search your heart, hear the request, pardon the sins, and fulfill the desire of all. It begins with a description of God who search your heart, the one who search your every corner of your heart, grant peace upon your soul. And this peace guards your heart and minds. That's what the Westminster Catechism talks about. Here, we also see a military term, the verb to guard. So you can imagine a strong city wall built by your mighty God to protect your heart and mind against the sinful thoughts and bitter feelings. Because of His peace, you can overcome all anxiety, fear, doubts, and discouragement. Because of His peace, you will not be shaken, but can be still. You can also recall one example of Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter. This morning, we talk about Paul's missionary journey in Acts 16. Paul met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her masters much gain by fortune telling. After Paul expelled the demon out of a slave girl, her masters were very angry and accused them and then put them in prison. Do you remember what they did in prison? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They prayed in prison. And this prison was located at Philippi. The recipients of this letter, possibly including that slave girl, and possibly prison guard and his family, would have known very well what Paul did during his difficult time. And they followed this example. Thus, we do so. Perhaps we all have experiences of things that go unexpectedly, things that happen irreversibly. But again, we must remember the place you can go. Reach there and leave your concerns with God. Although God may respond with a no to your prayers, or seemingly not respond at all, we will still have a peace, knowing that our Heavenly Father, who wants the best for His children, is attentively hearing us, watching us, and acting on our prayers. Then, the common complaint we could have during our afflictions, "Why me, O Lord?" can be transformed to our confession, "Why not me, O Lord?" And the common fear we could have for a cloudy, uncertain future with so many "what if" questions can be transformed to be the beautiful obedience and testimony of "even if." So go to God in prayer, which is the chief exercise of faith, by which you daily receive God's peace, guarding your heart and mind. We have seen place to put our request and peace given to our hearts and minds. And under our third and last heading, we will look at Jesus Christ, who makes our prayers possible. Practice made possible in Christ. Notice the very last words of verse 7. Through Christ Jesus. As Paul uses the phrase "through Christ," "through Jesus Christ," "in Christ," or "in the Lord," or "in Christ Jesus," more than 100 times throughout his epistles, and 14 times in his letter to the Philippians. Jesus Christ and his works are the centerpieces of Paul's theology. We cannot think of our doctrines, ministries, and practices without Jesus. So the same applies to our prayer. Let me give you the three roles or three identities of Jesus regarding prayers. I cannot deal with everything about prayers, but just a few things, especially three roles of Jesus regarding prayers. First, we need Jesus. We need Jesus as a mediator who can stand before God and us. With our filthiness and with our sinfulness, we can have no access into the presence of God. The distance from God is so great for our holy God. Our catechism again states, "There being none in heaven or earth appointed to or fit for the glorious work but Christ alone, we are to pray in no other name but His only." You can be such a praying soul when you pray in name of Christ, our only mediator to the one and only God. Only those who believe in the name of Christ are able to access to the holy throne of grace by prayer and supplication. Second, Jesus is our intercessor. He is our intercessor. Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for the sinners, also resurrected and ascended into heaven. Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is, see, it's present tense now, at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He is interceding for us. Friends, are you in physical or spiritual need, or both? Be encouraged and be grateful for Christ's continuing ministry in his intercession for you at the right hand of God. He prays for you that your faith may not fail. Look upon this Jesus Christ who sympathizes with your weakness and by his prayer keeps your chins up even as we walk on the eggshells in this pilgrimage life. Thirdly, remember Jesus, who is the sender of the Holy Spirit. With the promise of Christ sending the Holy Spirit, we have a helper who not only comforts us, but teaches us and leads us on how to pray. The Word of God encourages us to pray with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit. And don't wait until you think you are filled with the Holy Spirit to pray. Pray to be in the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit. So we have seen that our practice of prayer is possible only in Jesus Christ, especially when we rely on Christ as the mediator between God and sinner, and the intercessor at the right hand of God the Father, and the sender of the Holy Spirit. In closing, I'd like to ask you to take the John Calvin's advice. He says, whenever we are assailed by any temptation or troubles, let us immediately escape to prayer as to a sacred refuge. Congregation, remember the right place you need to go to and make your request be known. Cast all your anxieties on God because he cares for you. Pray for the church and pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let our God know that we are needy. First and foremost, his grace and mercy upon sinners. And pray for other needs. His eyes and ears are toward our cry. Congregation, receive peace given to your hearts and minds. During afflictions and difficulties, we need his peace in the church and in our families and in our individual lives. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is surely granted to you. Congregation, practice and continue to practice this chief exercise of our faith, prayer. As you pray, rely on Jesus Christ. Rely on his works and his merits. Pray in his name with the Holy Spirit. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. We were able to meditate and take this evening. God, help us to pray. Help us to pray with your spirit, even in our traveling time. Please help us to be confident to come before the throne of grace in our daily life. We pray in Jesus' name.